Hi, guys.
Hey.
Thanks for taking time out to talk to us. If I can, Danielle, I want to start with you and say our listeners more familiar with the name Danger Mouse, even though you were involved in some of the productions that Danger Mouse has had his name on over the last couple of years. Why step out from behind the curtain and into the limelight with this project, Danielle?
Well, I think it the same way we always worked, things like this happen kind of naturally. But again, I think we did this project without really thinking about all those elements of, being exposed to the public or not. Also, let's not forget that Rome was really, it's coming out as the newest thing, but was actually the very first work that we did together. And then through the years, while Rome was still, sitting on our desk, we had, the chance to work on Broken Bells, Dark Night of the Soul, and the Nars Barkley. So it's never really been, an element of discussion.
It wasn't 5 years in the waiting because you were wanting to keep behind the curtain and not come
Correct,
out and
yeah.
reveal yourself.
I wasn't hiding for 5 years.
So it wasn't the making for 5 years that you guys, Daniel, again, you actually came together with this project. Was it something growing up in Italy that you've always wanted to do and tackle, and you thought that Danger Mouse was the right person to collaborate with on it?
Well, I grew up in Italy and I would watch, Italian movies. That's everything they broadcasted anyway, Italian
right.
movies. So Sergio Leone, Fellini, that kind of thing. And I was really impressed when I met Brian because he had a tremendous collection of movies and records, Italian records from the 60s and the 70s. And he really had some titles that were beyond, mm-hmm. Sergio Leone, Dollars Trilogy, titles and that. So it really made
he was a crate digger,
the whole thing very interesting.
Yeah. Given the title Rome, were you guys always working with that title? Especially when you've been inspired by so much music coming out of Rome. That's a big take on right there. Was it always going to be Rome?
No, I don't. I think that was always our code word, which is not much of a secret word to use, I guess. but that's what we always talk about,
Rome
the
sessions.
Rome Project. I was similar to Daniel. The first music I ever did ever was based on seeing, music in my film classes. And I thought I was really, really inspired by it. Not the general ones, but the ones from the Italian film soundtracks. They just stood out and that made me want to go home and try to replicate it. So the first music I ever made was on four tracks, trying to use guitars and pianos and drums and stuff like that, trying to replicate this old music. So my first couple of releases I did were instrumental mock soundtracks, I guess, if you will. And so before I got into any other stuff like that, like sampling and other things, it just wasn't very good. So I think that this project has been really a long time. Like you said, when we first started doing this, it was 2004. Four is when we met, and five is when we started writing the music. And I thought it would come out in 2006. Mm-hmm. That's just the way.
That's the way how
we
actually
done it. Well, at the time, I didn't roll anywhere. I was just I was working on. I'd done Gnarls Barkley took a long time. I started on that with CeeLo in 2003. Didn't come out till 2006. It took almost 4 years, and that's just. Things do take a long time sometimes, and this was one of those things. It just had to be right. It had to be a certain way, and I don't always know how to, I don't know how to get stuff to be right, but I know when it's wrong. With this, it was never really wrong, but it wasn't right yet, and so we kept having to add stuff. We went back, we went and took a whole trip just to do choirs.
Wow.
And then we went and did a whole trip just to do the strings because we have to keep writing them as they went along.
Right.
And you don't know who the vocalists are. You can't write the strings until you have the vocals. And we didn't know who the vocalists were going to be. And we definitely didn't want to make a mistake on who we chose or asked to do the vocals with,
right.
the lead vocals. So there were reasons to why it all happened this way.
Before we get to the vocalists, let's talk about the theme for a little while, because again, conceptually, Danger Mouse coming to, especially in Italian, and Danielle, did you get the kind of final say on what the theme of Rome should be? Because again, as a writer, as conceptually, was that where your main argument came about? And
no, we never had any arguments.
No, I think the way that happened, we did all these songs in weird order. I don't remember what the actual order was and what songs we recorded first. We wrote the stuff, and then once we came back home, we just started to listen to it on our own and move stuff around and everything. Yeah. But I think the naming of the songs didn't come until it was one of the last things that was done.
There were like track 2, 4, 5. I still remember sometimes being track 18, track 16.
Yeah, if you say some of the titles right now, I'd have to really rack my brain. I mean, do you mean track 13? Do you mean 5? Yeah. And it was just, these were just titles that we thought really, you know, we ran them by each other, but to us, I mean, when you're living with something that close for that long, it's they're going to take their own shape in your own head, and you're going to have your own meanings for them.
That was Rome in Blue, another track from the Rome collaboration. Daniel Lupi and Danger Mouse were talking to them about the making of the album.
That's the one that we particularly really loved. Daniel came up with the basis of that song, the chords and the feel of that song, and we sat with it for a while, and then I tried many attempts at trying to find a vocal melody of some kind for it to be sung on. It just didn't work, so all the melodies that were supposed to be vocal melodies wound up being the strings.
Rome, you know, we refer to Rome, I guess, as a kind of a mental space where, you know, well, we went, so to speak, you know.
When that was our lives when we did this album, was Rome. That was what it was. We were there constantly and over again recording there. And, you know, I didn't get to see that much of it, to be honest.
Right, so.
It was just, I got to eat the food and record music, and that was it. But, and be honest, it was just simpler. Rome was what we kept referring to it as. That's where we went. Mm-hmm. It's where the players were. That's what it was.
Perfect. This might be a tough question, and if you can't answer it, let's move on. But do you have, again, for the layman, Danger Mouse, for us, has become kind of the master collaborator, and you've been involved in a lot of those collaborations now. Do you know what his secret is?
Well, I would say only that he has an amazing taste. You know, as you said, you say no to things or yes to other, and that's individual, you know.
And speaking of taste, very tasteful presentation. Everything about this so far on the web, the website, the look of it looks enormous, and it looks like a movie. And Danger Mouse, if you had a dream, would this project be a movie?
I don't know. I mean, would it take another 5 years? You want to do that?
Right. I mean, the website makes it like starring Nora and Jack, and it makes it look like it wants to be a movie.
You know what it is? A lot of things about films and about music are similar. You know, music is very visual, and I've always liked the way movie posters advertised movies much more than I like the way people advertise albums. So I incorporate that. You know, The Dark Night of the Soul had the same thing. I'm like, well, if this is better, just do it that way. And that's just kind of the way this was done, and I wasn't going to not do it that way just so I wouldn't have to explain to people it's not a fake film soundtrack. it's starring them because it is. We wanted to make a really modern, cool record that had an amazing history. Like, as far as the sound of the sound of that music was a big inspiration for us. The same way for myself personally, like the Beatles or Kraftwerk, it's in the music I do. It's there. Mm-hmm. Each time I do something that has it in there, it's not it's not an homage to the to that. It's just part of it. It's there. That's what it is. And this was a little bit more specific because in order to get that sound, you can't just buy an old keyboard. These guys, that sound, those instruments, that studio, you know, having somebody like Daniel who knows way more than I do as far as how to even get to that point, you have to do that. You have to do those things for this to be an element. You can't halfway do an element like this. I mean, I've sampled stuff that has these elements in it, mm-hmm. and they sound great, but you can't just do that in your bedroom, which I've tried over and over and over to do.
That's great to hear, Danger Mouse, because, I mean, you've been one of the proponents of suggesting that was possible almost to a new audience of musicians, and the fact that you guys went back and kind of explored the soul of the place and of the studio and in the musicians, Danielle. I mean, what was it like for you? Because you used some of Ennio Morricone's kind of session guys, right? Is that true? And how was that for you?
Well, we wrote the songs first, and the next thing we wanted to do was to actually have those players that played those amazing soundtracks in mm-hmm. the 60s to perform our music. The experience was really incredible. I mean, these guys are in their mid-70s to early 80s. They still play really well. And, they have a lot of fun playing, which is, important as well. They deliver, but they do have their fun moment when they do that. And it was funny to see how at first they behaved. You know, they were kind of nice and polite, but then after half hour, they went back to their old, kind of...
Screaming at each other.
Yeah, screaming and yelling and, Or like, they couldn't really see each other because they were playing together, but we put these panels, to keep the sound the more pure possible. But so they were hearing each other, obviously, and so they were, constantly... Yeah. Really, like the drummer would say to the guitar, "See why you're pulling the beat, like that." And it was really incredible to hear the way they were playing this chord progression and how they crafted that.
Thank you, Danielle. You choose one more track to take us out, one more from the album that you'd like us to play. And thanks for all the wonderful music you guys have given us over the years.
Yes, The World, the last track.
Perfect. Good luck, gentlemen, with the project in whichever way you want it to go. And thanks for spending the time with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.